The race for the court was close enough Tuesday night that Justice Butler was unwilling to formally concede until all the votes were counted. But yesterday in Milwaukee, Butler delivered a speech that incumbent justices rarely have to give.
Well, good morning. I'm here to respectfully acknowledge the will of the voters.
Butler lost to Gableman by roughly 20,000 votes in a race in which about 820,000 ballots were cast. Just how it happened is a matter of some debate. Just what it means may take years to answer. University of Wisconsin-Madison law professor Howard Schwaber says one of the messages interest groups and future judicial candidates will take away from this race is that personal attacks and negative misleading advertising work.
I think the system is broken. I don't think there's any way to put this genie back into the bottle.
Schwaber says Gableman's election and Butler's ouster shifts the ideological balance of the court. He says what remains to be seen is how Gableman will rule in cases involving the business groups who spent millions of dollars on his behalf this campaign.
To put it cynically, I suspect he will fit the old definition of an honest politician, one who stays bought. To put it much less cynically, his candidacy was made possible, and his success was made possible, because those groups expected him to, as a justice, issue rulings that would favor their interests. I think he was recruited for that purpose, and I think he will live up to that promise.
Former Supreme Court Justice John Wilcox agrees that there will be an ideological swing on the court, although maybe not a perceptible one over the course of 80 to 90 cases a year. Wilcox says today's Supreme Court races are tougher than the last one he ran in the late 1990s, but he thinks they still boil down to the messages of the candidates.
I like to think, and maybe this is somewhat naive, but that this was a race about judicial philosophy.
Another former Supreme Court Justice, Jeanine Geske, has deep concerns with the way this Supreme Court race was run. Geske is now a law professor at Marquette University. She's called one of the ads by now Justice-elect Gableman a new low for judicial campaigns in Wisconsin. And Geske says the influx of third-party dollars may lead people to want to appoint justices rather than elect them.
If we can't do something about this and we have races like we just had, I do think people are going to start looking for a constitutional amendment to have a different way to have justices selected, because I don't think this serves the public or the court.
Geske says that with Butler's departure, the court loses its only justice from Milwaukee, and with him, a unique perspective. She agrees with fellow Marquette law professor Peter Rofus that it's also significant for other reasons.
We know, whether we want to say it or not, we know the court is losing its first African-American. We know its first African-American was turned out by the voters of Wisconsin.
But Rofus says that to decry Butler's loss as being the result of outside spending shows just how short people's memories are when it comes to campaigns and elections.
I think that's a bit like a coach saying at the end of a hard-fought loss, something's wrong with the rules of basketball because we came up on the losing end. There may be things wrong, and it's an imperfect system, but it doesn't mean the flaws in the system caused the result of this race.
Rofus says the true test of Gableman will be how he handles himself on the court, which will be measured in large part by the decisions he writes. Gableman will begin that work later this year with the mantle of being the only challenger to knock off a Supreme Court justice in nearly a half century. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.